The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Well, isn't that interesting? Did you hear the story in the news about the increasing evidence of a surge in interest from UK residents wanting to move to the Isle of Man? I wonder. Anything to follow up on yesterday with Devon Watson and Juan McGuinness, Douglas City Council leader and the lead for finance and general purposes at Ramsey Town Commissioners? They both had lots to say about derelict properties, rates, the financial well-being of the commercial sector. So if you've got any thoughts on that, by all means do get in touch. Devon Watson was saying it's time to let local authorities access existing infrastructure to deliver new social housing. The government admitted last year that no public sector housing has been built during the current administration. He explained that that scheme, the island infrastructure scheme, which is only open to private developers, many of whom have chosen to pay a commuted sum rather than put 25% of affordable housing in their projects, i.e. build an estate, you should put 25%, one in four should be affordable homes. But lots of the developers basically put pay this commuted sum. They pay the government not to put affordable housing in their developments. They've got their own reasons why. So the government gets all this money, but the trouble is it's not been transmitted into any public sector houses in the last administration. Right, any thoughts on that? Well, anything else as well, because we're open line till one. Andy's with us first thing today. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind, Andy?
I just wanted to give a shout out to, it's a totally different subject to what you started with, but I want to give a shout out to Manx Care. They've been organising some listening sessions this month around the island, specifically related to people's experiences with COVID vaccine adverse events. Now, the first one was in Ramsey last week and went very positively. And I just wanted to make sure your listeners were aware that there's one on every Thursday in October. The next one is in Port Erin this Thursday at Tyrosian. I hope I'm saying that right. My Manx isn't great. But it's the Manx Care facility opposite the Southern Group practice.
Okay, and so there is an online... What are they called? Is it In Your Shoes they're called?
The In Your Shoes event, that's exactly right, yes.
Right, okay. And it's Tyrosian. When is it, you say?
The next one is this Thursday at 6:15. Okay. At Tyrosian. So that's for people in the south, and well, anybody can attend, really, and you don't need to book yourselves in. It can be better if you do, but it's not necessary. People can just turn up. And then there's one coming after that in Peel, and there's one coming in Douglas as well.
Okay. Did you go to the one in Ramsey at all?
I didn't. I live in Port Erin, so Ramsey's a hard drive for me, but I didn't meet the one in Ramsey. But obviously, we're in touch with the people that were there, and right, it was very, very well received, apparently.
Okay. So if anybody's listening, if they think that this applies to them, I mean, what's the threshold? How much of an interest do you have to go to this?
There is no minimum limit, really. I mean, there are those who are badly injured. There are those who are mildly injured. There are those who aren't sure if they're injured from the jabs or if it's long COVID. And there are those who have no symptoms and are simply interested in the topic, including those who, obviously, it's a contentious subject for some. Some people think they don't agree with the topic itself. I would advise anybody to turn up and just listen and just hear people's experience.
It's really interesting you say that, Andy. So, as you say, some people, we find this on the island all the time. You'll chat to somebody who they think might have long COVID, but they don't know what it is. It's just something that is not right since they've had COVID.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and try and diagnose people, but there are a lot of questions around the whole event and all the symptoms and things that have followed up from that. But this is a really, this is the first time that Manx Care and DHSC have actually put some serious effort into listening to people who have reported these issues specifically relating to the jabs. You know, it's taken 4 years of hard grafting by a small number of individuals who have been trying to raise awareness of this. And it's great to get this out into the public. It's definitely a public health issue. And we'd like to obviously have people understand a bit more about how much of a public health issue it is. So it is, just want to also call out, it is a little bit disappointing that public health have said that they won't be attending. But DHSC and Manx Care will be running it. But yeah, it's a great way to get people's voices heard. And I hope that people turn up and feel comfortable telling their experiences, because people need to really understand the impact and what's real and what isn't and what's been going on.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Andy. So this Thursday, 6:15 p.m, Tyrosian in Port Eyre. That's by the four roads there, isn't it, in Port Eyre?
Yeah, it's literally right opposite the Southern Group practice.
Okay, all right. Thanks for that. Good to hear from you.
Appreciate it. You too. Thank you.
All right, 12 minutes past 12 midday on we've been talking about the election. I mean, you'll hear a lot about the election. The countdown's begun to the next general election. A year to go. Well, a little less than a year. Candidates can now declare their intention to stand. True, you can. If you're intending to stand, you must start recording all your campaign expenses. Did you know that? If you're going to stand, you have to record your campaign expenses, donations and relevant interests. That's everything from promotional materials to donations over £50. You also have to declare business directorships, trade union affiliations or professional memberships. Anonymous donations are banned. And if an anonymous donation is received, they need to be handed to the chief financial officer and ultimately passed to the Manx Lottery Trust. So if you're looking to stand in Keys, you cannot receive an anonymous donation. You must be over 18, at least 18, be a British citizen, that is. Basically, that's a kind of technical thing. Manx citizens legally are British citizens, according to kind of diplomatic rules, or you have the right to remain on the Isle of Man and have ordinarily lived on the Isle of Man for at least 5 years in total. You have to be registered to vote and, of course, can't be legally disqualified from standing. To enter the process, if you look into this, you need to contact the deputy returning officer in the constituency where you want to stand. Just so we're clear on that. There'll be more information as this comes on, and if you're thinking about it, well, all the best to you. I do hope it works out for you. And Betty's with us now. Hello, Betty.
Hi. Just a couple of things, really. If the people coming over, the house prices might go up, mightn't they, on the island?
Well, it's very rare that house prices go down on the Isle of Man, Betty.
Well, I just had a thought. In the Channel Islands, I think, people who have lived on the island for years have a different price rate than people who just come over.
Yeah, there's a residence price and a kind of an incomer's price there.
Well, how about having that on the island? That would seem fair to me.
We've never had that historically, but then again, the Isle of Man, always wanted people to come over. I mean, it was, and certainly from the 1950s onwards, when the Isle of Man's population was declining, the Isle of Man needed people and needed economic activity. So, I mean, and this is the government's stated intention to increase the population, Betty.
Yes, I know, but you don't have to decrease people coming over. You just have to, there are a lot of people on the island who need accommodation. I'm thinking of young people, and the waiting list for government housing is a long time. So maybe prices could be just a bit less for them to make it affordable.
How would that? I mean, I don't know how. I mean, I do. I used to live in Jersey years and years ago, and it was kind of accepted, the fact that incoming people were, but of course, Jersey's tiny compared to the Isle of Man, so land is very much at a premium. So I don't know, how would you feel, how do you think people would feel if, let's say, you know, somebody who lived on the island got a house for, I don't know, 250,000, but for the same house, somebody coming from across had to pay 300,000. I mean, how would that sit with you?
Well, I would probably accept it, actually. I would, but not everybody would, I know. But it just seems an idea, a thought to make things easier for people on the island, that's all.
Well, and certainly, I know in Jersey that's applicable to, obviously, to young people, because, I mean, it is the devil's only, a devil's own job getting a property in Jersey, as I say, purely because the place is tiny. You can sprint across it in an hour.
Yes, well, I think maybe we should think about it as well to help young people. That's just one of my thoughts.
Okay.
My second thought, and this is just my thought, I haven't got anything to say that it's right or anything, and I haven't got any evidence. But I just think these days everything is excused on mental health grounds. They say a person does something awful and it's because of their mental health. Could it just be that some people are essentially horrible and that's why they do horrible things? That's just my thought.
Well, there's a theory that there's the same proportion of the population that will be, how can I put it? There's the same number or same proportion or same percentage of people who indulge in criminal acts as has ever been. It's like there may be more, you may be more, see more on television about crime, but they reckon there's as much crime as ever happened before. So, but certainly the, how can I put it, the prevalence, we've talked about this before, about the mental health thing, which is, it's front and centre now. I mean, it's something that years and years ago, nobody mentioned mental health. Nobody talked about their mental health. But it seems to be now anything goes, Betty.
Well, yes, but I don't think that's right. I don't think you can excuse everything on mental health. I just think some people are essentially wrong ones.
Well, OK. We'll see what happens in the future, Betty. Thanks for that.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. There's increasing evidence of a surge in interest from UK residents seeking to move to the Isle of Man. It's thought, as I say, political tensions across a deteriorating geopolitical landscape, all making safe havens like the Isle of Man more attractive. And let's face it, there are few places in the world safer than the Isle of Man. Here's David with us now. Hello, David.
Hi, Randy. I just wonder if anybody knows from Peel when they're meeting the minister this afternoon to talk about speed limits, 20 miles an hour. Could somebody ask her the direct question, is she supporting an all-island speed limit? And is that what's happening or coming forward? Or is that why there's been a little chatter in the Council of Ministers? And maybe Tim resigned because of it?
Well, we don't know, do we? And it was interesting what Tim Crookall said when they said to him, is this a political manoeuvre? Well, everything's political, really, isn't it? I mean, everything is. People are going to be asked all the time whether it's political. I just wonder, David, what are your thoughts on the 20-mile-per-hour limit?
Well, I think it's a joke, to tell you the truth. But anyway, we haven't had any results from the first surveys that were done in Onchan. You'd think she would, the minister would have put some feedback on there, or even the media. I'm surprised the media haven't come out and say, well, what's happened? And it's been now, must be nearly 6 months since she came to Onchan, and then she told an untruth in Timwald regarding the commissioners in Onchan that we're fully supportive of it. No, that wasn't the case at all. And I just wonder whether anybody, because she's having a session in Peel this afternoon, I think, from something like, didn't pick it up, 4 o'clock this afternoon. If somebody would ask her the direct question and maybe come on tomorrow and then tell us the answer. Because they're supposed to give us this information. And if that is the information and somebody's trying to do that, we need to know to find out whether what repercussions we've got on sporting events on the island. Because the major issues are the TT, whether we like it or not, and the Grand Prix. Everybody that lives on the island knows what happens TT week and Grand Prix week and whatever, and we adapt to it, don't we? We have done for years.
Well, as you say, and also, let's face it, lots of people come to the Isle of Man to have a burn-up, don't they? Lots of people like to come here because they want to speed around the, you know, one of the most famous racetracks in the world.
Yeah, well, you look at the cars we've had over recently. Ferraris, all sorts of the weird ones, the soft top ones, the French cars that were tiny that came to the Isle of Man. They must love it. I mean, the jig words is, and I keep going on about this, the island is where you can, not where you can't do it because a politician says no. And the final thing for me is, I'd love to find out, Andy, if your reporters could have a little go on these Section 13 agreements. That's where developers put money to aside for the benefit of the community, where they can't provide first-time buyers or discounted housing in a particular area. So as far as I'm concerned, in my time anyway, it used to be the Section 13 agreements. There's a fund there somewhere in who holds it. It's probably Treasury. But I'd love to find out how much is in that fund. And when you say, what are government trying to do to support local authorities who can build and who can build local authority houses or first-time buyers?
I mean as a private citizen, David, what's your reaction to the fact that this government hasn't overseen the building of a single social housing residence in this current administration?
Appalling. I think it is appalling that nothing's been done. We do have a government that's supposed to support the residents on the island and move things along. And housing's definitely something we need. We need to build sheltered units for people, because whether you know it, people are getting older all the time.
Well, I mean, the skeet is, David, we need a nursing home or, if you like, a sheltered accommodation. We need one per year just to keep up.
Yeah. Well, look at the scenario there was in Peel, was it, over the home that was closed down because it hadn't been adapted. And we got the same thing in Ramsey. I'm surprised you didn't ask him yesterday about the home that's in Ramsey by the pier.
About Cummel Moor, yeah.
What's happened with that? In my time there was a full set of plans to move it somewhere else, develop bathrooms which we had wheelchair-friendly and hoists, you know. They're not thinking of the future when the rest of us are not here. And the final thing for me, I went to one of the issues to do with wind turbines, and I was embarrassed, to tell you the truth. It wasn't to do with Ofsted. It was the Cabinet Office.
Yeah.
All it was at the town hall, and I spent £3.50 in a car park to be there 15 minutes and come back out with a piece of paper and to say to me, fill a form in if you want to be an interested party. I mean, they could have done that through the Manon line or something like that. So I don't know if anybody else went. I know there was a couple of people from Auckland thing, and I won't mention his full name anyway, but Paul knows who I'm talking about there. I met him in the hallway, and he said to me, I'm coming down to get an insight into the wind turbines, where they're going to be, what are we going to get money out of it, when it's going to happen, what's the lifespan of it, because these turbines don't happen overnight.
Yeah. And what did the representatives from Cabinet Office, did they engage in conversation at all? What did they say?
No, they said hello, we can't ask any questions. I knew one of them anyway, so I didn't go hard on anybody at all. But I think it was not a misrepresentation, but I thought it was something different where Ofsted were there, where you could ask them the questions. I've been before. I'm still in favour of them, offshore preferably, because as long as, and the caveat would be, as I was there, is to have a link to the Isle of Man or a link into the network, because we can have, when it's spinning reserve floating around all through the networks, I mean, that's the best thing we've got within a network there. We've got cables running. Maybe we should have another cable to Ireland or something like that, and we can link things up. I do think that's going to be the way, whether we like it or not. The oil reserves and gas reserves are going to dwindle all the time, and I'm still got. And I was going to just tell you quickly I'm only making about 4 or 5% on my panels.
All right.
I need a bit more light.
All right. Thanks for calling.
How's yours anyway?
Well, the radio station. Oh yeah, well, they keep interfering with stuff though. We can't hear the radio because our PV panels are generating so much. We got hundreds of the darn things. Well, dozens anyway.
Well, yeah, yeah. No, that's great. I mean, you're doing better than government's doing, is it? All them, I know, whinge all the time, but anyway, all the schools we've got, they were off all summer.
Well, that's a fair point. The fact is that the government lectures everybody about net zero and doesn't put up a PV panel on any of their buildings. So you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, and the final thing for me, the DEFA minister wants to put another scheme together to support local people who may have an interest in putting something energy efficient in their properties, not insulation or bulbs or whatever, draft excluders, something a bit more substantial, like if you could buy the panels but you couldn't buy a battery. So, you know, if you don't have a battery, I'm running the house at the moment on the panels and I'm not creating that much electricity from them, but I'm keeping the house. Nobody's got anything running. And don't forget to use off-peak. That's a misnomer that everybody should be looking at too, off-peak.
Okay.
You don't need to do the washing in the daytime, do you? You can do it at night when you're not there.
All right. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Cheers. Now, 27 minutes past 12. I've got a note in from Hayley. Oh, and also Christine said, what do you mean the Isle of Man is one of the safest places in the world? How do you know that? Well, actually, we're not the safest place. We are third safest in the world. We've been named the third safest place to live in the world, according to a company called Vansis Capital, an international investment migration firm. They do something called the Global Resident Index every year, and the index evaluates safety based on various factors: crime rate, political stability, natural disaster risks. And at the moment, we're third behind Liechtenstein and Andorra at the moment. And it was always, I always heard there was a thing, it was a CIA list. And I don't know whether I'm now going to be on a CIA hit list. But the CIA had a list called risk of kidnap, i.e., the risk of being kidnapped for, you know, prominent people and what have you, and millionaires and this, that and the other. And apparently, and again, I stand to be corrected, the Isle of Man was in the top three there. You are less at risk to be kidnapped in the Isle of Man than most places in the world. And for some, I mean, that doesn't apply to the vast majority of people who'd want to kidnap me. There wouldn't be much of a ransom. But there you are. We are a very safe place. Hence the fact there's been this surge of interest from UK residents wanting to come here. Julian's on now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Not at risk of kidnap.
No, or a risk of overheating those solar panels either, I would imagine.
Okay.
I'd just like to reiterate your previous caller, Andy, talking about the listening event at Ty Rosen on Thursday.
Yeah.
I noticed, actually, there's an FOI, an English one, from the MHRA. The number is 2024/0051. They were the ones that were receiving the yellow card vaccine injury reporting cards in the UK. And they reported 1,054 last year so far with the COVID vaccines. So if you look at historically, the swine flu vaccine back in 1976 was pulled when individuals were getting Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a neurological disorder, at a rate of 1 in 100,000 people, and they decided that was too dangerous. If you take 1,054 yellow card reports on an Isle of Man population, that works out at 2,000 times the safety warning signal of the one in 1976, and almost the same for its successor, another swine flu vaccine in 2009 called Pandemrix, which was pulled at 6 per 100,000. So we've got a rate of 2,000 per 100,000 if you take the MHRA's own FOI. So I think they need to perk their ears up a bit at Manx Care and have a proper listen on Thursday.
Sorry,
I think,
where do you get those figures from, Julian, again?
This is from the MHRA. They have an FOI available. That number, again, is 2024 slash 000051.
And this is a that's a UK one, is it?
That's because the Isle of Man Health Authority sends them to the UK.
Right.
So the only way to actually see what the aggregate number of reports is to go and look on the UK FOI website. So at the moment, we're about 2,000 times the safety signal that was required to pull a vaccine in 1976.
So will you be at Tyrosian, Julian?
Yeah, I think I'll pop down and have a listen and a look. I like to see what's going on with that and to see how closely it is being listened to. My main point, I noticed we talked the other day about the many problems with digital IDs. And I noticed there's a new bill going through the UK Parliament at the moment. It was published recently, and it's called the Children's Wellbeing and Schools Bill. This is coming under the UK Department for Education. And the idea of this bill is to assign every child a code number known as a single unique identifier code, which will be included across multiple sets of data and shared with multiple departments, including social care, different education departments, local authorities, the police, social care and others, which are not tightly specified. I'm just curious to know if our current education minister, Daphne Kane, is aware of this UK bill and its intention to start coding children's information on a shared central database available to pretty much anybody, really, that's got access. And I wonder if that will be something that will be coming over to the island where, you know, it's kind of like digital ID, but being instilled into kids very, very early on in their life, which is a bit worrying from my perspective.
And who will hold the data?
Well, this is the thing. It's going to be on another centralized database. And this is the worry. If you start having children's, I mean, this is everything. So they're going to go right from all their vaccination status, education, you know, what they've been taught, the whole thing to do with a child. They're at, I would imagine it would also be the address, details of the parents, the whole thing. And you just worry that when this, again, like the digital IDs being proposed in a centralized database, and you just look at stuff, you know, you look at, say, the Equifax problem. There was a, in 2017, American yeah. credit company, they had really sensitive data, 148 million Americans. The whole lot was taken in a few seconds.
Yeah.
You've had the Horizon post office thing with a faulty software package where, you know, people committed suicide because they were accused of being a dodgy postmaster or
and
whatever.
And it also seems with things like Marks and Spencer and Jaguar Land Rover, it just seems that somewhere there's a little oik in a black shirt who can, I'm just generalising obviously, who can hack into something. So who knows? I mean, generalised central databases are going to be prey to hacking, aren't they?
Well, you had the UK Co-op. They've had a few million customer records. Harrods had 500,000 customers' data hacked recently. Allianz Life in America had 1.1 million total data taken.
Right.
So, you know, when you fill out insurance forms, there's someone out there with millions and millions of people's data. And you know, they're clever people. They know how to get people and try and hold them over a barrel with this stuff. So.
Okay. All right, Julian, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
All right, 26 minutes past one. We talked last week, didn't we, about the fact that the guy from KPMG was saying that to safeguard the public sector pension pot, it may be that people are going to have to retire over the age of 70. Scott, working outside in Onchan, said, Andy, it's okay for office staff to retire, to carry on to retirement age past 70, but I'm working outside. I'm 50 years of age, and my body's ready for the knacker's yard, said Scott. Thank you, Scott. That's putting it simply, isn't it? Here's Mark with us now. Hi, Mark.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Yes, you're live on the air, Mark. Go ahead.
Well, I was just listening to your previous caller going on about the yellow reporting slips.
Yeah.
And I think either he's being very disingenuous or he doesn't understand exactly what they're for. Because he was saying about with the swine flu, a very specific condition. And then saying, oh, but we filled in 2,000 times more yellow slips. The yellow slips are for anything that anyone wants to say. So, for example, I had a sniffle after I had an injection would be a cause for a yellow slip.
Right.
So unless you know what the yellow slips that were put in on the island for COVID are actually about, to try to say that we've got 2,000 times as many proportionately as a particular very serious condition in the
right.
past is...
So we just sent in a lot of yellow slips, really.
Yeah. 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 Unless you know exactly what the slips were for, because he was quoting a very... I can't remember the name of the disease he mentioned. He mentioned a condition.
Epstein-Barr.
Which is a very serious... Yeah. A very serious condition. And obviously, if COVID... the COVID jab was killing... If it was about something, if those 2,000 slips were about really serious things like that, then yes. But most of the other slips aren't. People just send them in, and they're you know, if you have the COVID jab, they tell you, oh, you know, there's a 1 in 10 chance of this. There's a, it's like with all medication.
Yeah.
Most of the medication I'm on says there's a 1 in 10 chance of this. There's a 1 in 100 chance of this. And those minor things are fine. But he was comparing a very serious thing with less serious.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. No.
It made sense in my head.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Thanks for pointing that out. Will you be going to the COVID thing in Port Erin at all?
I'm based out of Peel, so probably not.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling today, Mark. We appreciate it.
Okay, God bless you.
All right, 22 minutes before one. Wilf's on now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, Andy. I don't like to hear what I heard earlier here about this influx of all these people
right.
wanting to come and live on the Isle of Man. Because this, I think there's far too many people here now, but that's just my opinion. Now, my other opinion is, our government does not seem to, or they're ignoring the fact that we've got all these children here that belong here, and they're all going to want a house, and they're all going to want a car, and they're all going to want a job, but yet we want to fetch a whole lot more people in to be treated by our hospitals, doctors, whatever, and we can't get treated ourselves. It's just absolute madness. And they want to put a stop to it right away. This new government that comes in, or the new one that's going to come in,
yeah.
people want to think about this and say, right, you're either against this or you're not against this. If you're against all these people coming in, I'll vote for you. If you're against the Green Party, I'll vote for you. And if you're against windmills, I'll vote for you. They've got to think about these things. We've got too many people here now. Now, there was something a bit earlier, something that totally different altogether, that was mentioned earlier about you're putting in a claim for if you stood for the commissioners or whatever,
yeah.
for to get money back, whatever.
Yeah.
Now then, there was a form given to me. I filled it in months ago. And didn't expect any return or anything, which of course I was dead right again. I never got any return. Then I was told I was sent a letter. I hadn't sent a form in. Now how did they know I hadn't sent a form in and already sent one in? But anyway, that's beside the point. So I've done it all again. And I'm still waiting. I don't believe one, you're not going to get a penny back. And all I only put it in, I just spend the money as it's gone. But I only put it in because it was to pay for your manifestos.
Right.
That you put around the town. But I never received a penny. No, there wasn't. It was a small thing I wanted to know. Oh, yeah. I tried to ring you 3 or 4 times yesterday on your own number.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it. Obviously, you were either stuffing yourself, or you were asleep, or you were doing one of your programs. I don't know. When is a good... It's important. When is a good time to ring you?
To phone me? Well, you can phone me any time after...
Yes.
Phone me any time after Man in Line. That'll be fine, Wilf.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that'll suit me very fine. Yeah, right.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay. Well, these are just my opinions.
I appreciate it.
Of what should happen.
Well, that's fine, because Man in Line's all about opinions, and the more the merrier, Wilf.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling today. The government buys derelict property, and let me see, there's a message in from 603. The government buys derelict property and offers rent to buy to those who spend their lives renovating buildings but will never earn enough to buy one for themselves. Clause attached, 3 years, the exterior will be presentable or the contract is void. This is 603. This is about the derelict properties. If they can pay to opt out of affordable housing, then local authorities should be given that that fee to build. Are you talking about the curtailment fee that's given by private companies, private developers, to not put affordable housing in developments? We don't know where that money goes or whether that's going through to local authorities. Let me get to some more messages here. Lots of messages in today. Unfortunately, let me see, some people want to be happy with turbines, green energy, but it will happen as the right choice for our next generation. I think your predictive text got the better of you, John Ramsey, that is. Yellow cards are not medically confirmed side effects. They're people's own assumptions mixed in with made-up data, says Andrew. That's another message in. And let me see the pile of messages I have here. This is health and safety regarding the Western Civic Immunity site has gone too far. The charges facing the public are excessive, says this correspondent. We don't have you. Oh, it's Michael. Thank you, Michael. Fridges being disposed of, £131. Washing machines, £40. The contractor raised charges, these sites, around £588 per tonne for electrical waste. I believe it's now higher. The reuse sheds have been closed since March of this year. This is the Western Civic Community site. The Health and Safety Executive and its rules are causing many items to be dumped into skips that can be reused or repaired, including children's toys and under health and safety. If it contains even a 1.5 standard AA battery, it has to be destroyed. Fly tipping is another example, says Michael. People can't afford these charges, leaving items in sheds, gardens, or even cluttering their homes. No other jurisdiction charges anything except here on the Isle of Man. Health and safety prevents people like me and others repairing items. The commissioners of Patrick and Peel talk but do nothing. MHKs ignore emails. DEFRA and the minister will not respond. The health and safety executive is running out of ideas, so are inflicting rules on the Isle of Man where it is not necessary. These are the charges of the Western Civic Amenity site. It's a problem that seems to go on and on. Back in just a few moments' time, we got some calls, we got some messages, and you are next.
The Isle of Man Creamery, famous for the freshest Manx milk, dairy products, Noah Bakehouse treats and more, has now made ordering deliveries even easier. Simply download the Isle of Man Creamery Doorstep Direct app and you're ready to order. Reschedule deliveries, see your order history and request invoices. Treat your taste buds in a few taps. Get info and add to your order now at isleofmancreamery.com/delivery. Or visit your app store to download the app now.
It's the perfect time to plant spring bulbs and winter pansies. And there's a wide range available at Ramsey Garden Centre. Plus a full range of garden essentials for indoor and out, including battery lights. Visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week.
Here's to the hard-working heating machines that have kept us cosy. Let's big up the boilers that keep our hot water flowing flawlessly. But now, it's time to give your boiler some tender loving care with a service from Manx Petroleum. With affordable service plans for oil-fired boilers and tanks, you can spread the cost interest-free using our budget account. Make your boiler brilliant again. Visit mp.im for more information. Manx Petroleum, always here for you.
Invincible, the new single by Aster, is out now. Available on Amazon, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Deezer and YouTube. All download proceeds will be donated to children's mental health charities.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 14 minutes before one. Shouldn't prospective MHKs have to declare if they're members of certain societies? What, the WI? Sounds like the candidates have to be open and honest. This is Francis is obsessed with the Freemasons. Never says it, but he's obsessed, or she is obsessed with the Freemasons. Don't know why. You're not a Freemason, are you, Francis? Well, I suppose if you were, you wouldn't tell me anyway. How many people in 1976 even knew about the yellow slip system for vaccines, let alone access the way to submit them? And to be honest, would have even bothered to submit a yellow vaccine slip. Move on to 2020 and everyone was advised and educated to submit anything and everything for the COVID vaccine. And they also have the internet access, which wasn't needed. Even a twinkle in anybody's eye in 1976. So really, context is everything. I agree with Wilf. So if any prospective MHKs in the Onchan area are listening, you know what I'm looking for in your manifesto. That's Ian817. There'll be a lot of chatting done next year, won't there, with candidates. Quote of the day. Says from Betty, some criminals are just wrong'uns. Mark the engineer said that. It's homespun, isn't it? Look, we run all the databases. Where do we put them from? Says Si. I don't know, Si. Where would we put the databases? So where do you think? This is going to be microchips. Has been practiced on pets for many years, says Sue. Isle of Man's safety. I hope things don't change, unlike many UK towns whose culture has changed over recent decades, says John. If we're so safe as a society, how come the police armed response unit is deployed at the drop of a hat? It seems that they're there for any public disturbance or even domestic disputes. They've even been sent out where there's been a suspected dangerous dog or perhaps children being noisy. I think there's overkill in their deployment, says 475. That spoof video showing dozens of UK pensioners coming to the Isle of Man by boat may be turning into reality. Your contributor, this is Dee, thank you Dee. Your contributor Betty makes a very valid point about the issue of mental health labelling. There are so many people these days claiming their behaviours are due to poor mental health. I think it's shameful. I've known hundreds of mentally ill people who've never broken the law or been violent. There have been few who have come into contact with the law, but if they have, they've indeed been very ill. Keyboard warriors who are very quick at criticising the mental health provision are the very people who try to avoid consequences of poor behaviour or want refuge in a mental health unit. These are the people who prevent very ill people getting beds when they need it. They're people who become so active online when their demands are refused. Betty is very right. Thank you, Dee, for that point. And Tim Crookall resigned because of one or two reasons, says Rob. It shows how he's out of touch with his voters. 20 to 30 reasons will be more realistic. Well, we'll see, won't we? Tim Crookall says he didn't say he's not going to stand. He didn't say he's going to stand. He said he's going to make his mind up, and possibly at the last minute. It'd be interesting to know if UK workers or UK pensioners buying homes here. If pensioners are buying homes, we have real problems coming our way, says 313. I suppose it depends how healthy they are. Paul Chase is a mortgage advisor with Financial Options in Douglas. And he said that their company is experiencing a significant number of inquiries from UK buyers to come and live in the Isle of Man.
That's right. Yep. Every week we're getting more and more inquiries through. I spoke to my colleagues before just to sort of take a straw poll. And I think we're each seeing at least one or two inquiries per week. So it is something that's increased significantly.
What would you put it down to?
I think it's the situation in the UK with the UK government and all the problems they're having over the sort of immigration and everything over there. I think it's the fact of the advancement of technology. Quite a few of the people that are looking to move here are actually sticking with their UK employer, but are actually going to remote work. So the fact that you can now work from the office in your home anywhere in the world, I think is helping people. So we've seen quite a few of that.
Are you seeing this from all parts of the UK or mainly from the traditional catchment regions, such as the North West?
No, I think we're seeing it across the board. There are people coming from further afield as well, but certainly the main focus seems to be people from the UK. And as I say, it's from the north down to the south, various different sort of areas across the UK, and then people seem to really want to come to the island.
I suppose for many potential buyers, property prices here are still relatively cheap compared with many areas in the UK.
That's correct. Yeah, absolutely. Certainly some of the major urban areas in the UK, the prices are quite a bit higher. So even though we think our property prices are quite high, certainly in comparison to some in the Northwest. But yeah, they're seeing that it's a reasonable opportunity to move here.
And do you see the potential then for property prices to rise here due to this level of interest?
I think so. We are hearing from our clients that they are struggling to find properties, and we're now seeing that there are numbers of clients going after the same sort of properties. So inevitably, that's going to lead to sort of price increases. So yeah, one to be watched.
In terms of the types of buyers, are they mainly high net worth people or is it more general than that?
There seems, certainly over the last month or so, we seem to have had quite a lot of inquiries from high net worth individuals because they're also looking to talk about pension relocation and investment relocation. But certainly it is across the board.
Paul Chase talking about, well, more people from the UK basically inquiring about moving to the Isle of Man. And certainly, well, you can guarantee now, housing is going to be right at the top of the political agenda for next year for the election. If more people come, we have to build more houses. We can't put everybody up in tents. People have to live somewhere. And then there are people on the Isle of Man who are desperate to get on the housing ladder, who can't. People who live here, people who have been born here, can't get on the housing ladder. So how do we do that? I saw Jason Morehouse putting leaflets in a door yesterday. He's getting in early, says 121. Well, he may just be familiarising himself. I think Jason's been around that new estate in Ballasalla, getting to know some of the new residents down there. He's still an MHK, current MHK. That doesn't mean he's standing for election next year. There are more than 57 dilapidated properties that are lived in Ramsey, and many more in Douglas and all over the Isle of Man. This is Richard. We didn't get this question in yesterday, but I want to put it out there. Have you written to all of them about doing something about the state of the properties lived in everywhere? Or should the entire matter be handed over to the DOI if nothing's being done? Not even a letter's been written to many of the people in these houses. Andrea sent a letter. We didn't get this one in time, Andrea. Why is street lighting poor around central Douglas? You need a torch when walking on Devonshire Road and other roads. The lights are ineffective. And Marco said, why do Douglas Council use plastic boxes to do recycling? They blow away in the wind. Also, with the young lads putting their hands in the boxes with all mixed products, there could be sharp cans, used needles and broken glass. Do they have big gloves? Well, if they're not using plastic boxes, what boxes should they use to not get blown away? As far as Williston's concerned, John and Sean, why are there so many empty houses? refurbished and not ones done in Willesden. There's a big problem. One refurbished, one empty over 7 months. I don't think it's good enough from the corporation. It's the council. And lots of problems with the refurbished ones. So sort it out, they said. Next Monday, by the way, it was the Ramsay and Douglas representatives yesterday. Next Monday, I beg your pardon, next Tuesday, the 14th, we've got two political party leaders on Man in Line. The leader of the Manx Labour Party, Joni Farragher MHK, is on, and the leader of Liberal Vanin, Laurie Hooper MHK. Joni Farragher's Douglas East, and Laurie Hooper at one of the Ramsay MHKs. So Laurie Hooper and Joni Farragher will be on, well, talking about their own parties, but also, obviously, it's going to be open to question if you want to talk to Joni Farragher or Laurie Hooper exactly about where they stand and where their parties stand. And this whole point about we don't have party politics on the Isle of Man, although there are parties. There's only two Manx Labour MHKs, obviously Joni Farragher and Sarah Maltby, and one Liberal Vanin MHK. The leader, Laurie Hooper, is there. Obviously, there are representatives elsewhere on councils, but it'll be interesting to hear. Laurie Hooper, of course, himself a former minister, and Joni Farragher on Man in Line a week today. The Isle of Man is full of old fogies, says George. Sorry, but it's true. Dublin Airport's full of Americans. We're too slow and we're missing a trick, in my opinion, says George. These people aren't moving here because they value the island. It's heartbreaking, says 622. What are they? Well, they'll be moving here for financial reasons, won't they? And also because it's a safe place to live. It's a beautiful place to live. We all know there's a period of acclimatisation, shall we say. Still getting lots of notice and lots of messages about chatter during performances at the Villa Marina and the gaiety. My wife and I were at the Bootleg Beatles concert at the Villa a few weeks ago. Two families sitting behind us constantly shouting, talking and up and down to the bar and the toilet. So rude, it spoiled it for us, says Andy. Many of the tickets for the Gaiety, Villa and Cinema are bought in bulk by local companies for employees. They're not personally paid for the tickets, they're just freebies for a night out with colleagues, not necessarily because they want to actually go and see the show or act. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phone today. Enjoy your Tuesday. W-I-N-T.